Testing, there we go. Clock starting.
I'm not kidding.
Who of you bought envelopes this year? Yeah? Still go out and buy envelopes. In my hand here, I have a very special envelope. In fact, it's the original envelope that was deposited in our special bank in 1838. When you see the photos up and the images of what aerial surveillance can now do for us nowadays in discovering things, in our archives, this is the original little envelope with some stamps and some ropes that sealed it with. And inside the envelope were two very special items, or actually three of them, flamingo leaves, feathers.
Yeah. Flamingo leaves.
And on the envelope is written that it was used as money.
Flamingo leaves
in 1858. So I'm just going to carefully put it back in here so I don't break the stuff. Yeah. So the story goes is that many companies nowadays starting up, right? And it's awesome to start businesses, it's cool. I guess most innovators around the world want to start things and fiddle with new ideas and new ventures. Some of us get to have a little bit of responsibility for, I guess, bigger, older things that have been around for many years. And our challenge clearly is not to necessarily work on the past, but to very importantly work on the next journey for our organization. So it's not about the past 180 years in our case. I think we're probably, other than the few wine farms in Cape Town, around the Western Cape, we are the oldest company registered in South Africa. And clearly you do not want to be part of a journey that switches off the legacy, right? It's all about setting ourselves up for the future. And along the way of the 180 years, there's been wars, there's been different regulatory structures, new laws, new stuff, new innovation, new tools. And what we are trying to do today is to spend a little bit of time just to give you a context of how we approach these things and how we adapt to these changes. To start off with, and people talk about this a lot, they talk about the cliche of the customer is a king or a queen, and it's about standing the test of time, really, for us. You know, it's easy to launch things, it's easy to come up with new stuff, but in the end, it's about whether you're really able to go on a journey with your clients and see it through. But now, importantly, in the world of financial services, or I guess sustainable businesses, it's important that you calibrate yourselves into the type of customers you want. So in finance, as you know, you could expect that all financial companies would want to find customers that are able to work with money. And we all know our friends and families who I wouldn't give them a credit card because I couldn't trust them with the limit that they have on that credit card. So what we try and do is we like to look for customers who can work with money. Second element is we try and look for customers who could be efficient and who could go with us as we change to the new ways of doing things. There was a time where we were scared of the ATM. There was a time where the calculator was new, right? And tools come, and as they go through that, if your clients don't help you to adapt to the new changes, if the things that we come up with our clients, if they're not able to absorb and adjust to the innovations and stuff, then clearly you sit with a client set that can't get you into the future. And then the last one, which is probably the most important one, is this whole concept of trust. Trust through having customers that you can that behave well, that are honorable in society. We all know that. You can see examples where companies go down when they've been able to attract clients, but the clients are not honorable. And financial services, clearly, you all know how important this thing called trust is. So that's very important for us. And if we have customers that are honorable, can able to work with money and are efficient, as a consequence of them, we will have incredibly good staff to absorb them. An honorable person won't allow you to give them a relationship manager or a banker that is a crook, right? And so if we have people who are looking for innovation and innovative ways of doing business, but we restrict them and we give them old processes, they'll sort of leave us. And the third one is is if our customers are looking for, they're able to work with money, they'll keep us honest to make sure that we are also able to innovate with them along the journey. So this thing called customer centricity is much more than what people always think about, and sustainability and standing the test of time is critical. All right, the way we approach customer centricity is we think that it's not about technology, and we all heard that in our statements. We really think it's about winning the hearts and minds of customers. And if you think about our innovations, we are ultimately driven around a single purpose that we've had over 180 years, and that is that we're trying to help people manage their money. Now, in the fullness of time, we think that people will still need help managing their money. Because unless someone else finds a different chip in us, we will still be useless at looking after our finances. We will waste it on the wrong things, we'll buy things for the wrong price, we'll sell it at the wrong time, and we'll invest in the wrong stuff, and we won't get out of investments in the right time, right? So we are all vulnerable, and it's this emotion in finance that gives us so much energy, and all of our, you know, most of our innovation goes into this helpfulness that we refer. So globally, all financial services, everyone that launches anything is driven around this. How do we keep track and are able to use technology, especially the exponentialness with which it comes, to really win the hearts and minds of customers? No matter what brand it goes out with, or whatever technology you use, it's really about winning the hearts and minds of our customers. To put it into context, there's an emotion when you swipe your plastic or you dip it and it doesn't work, right? And some organizations understand that emotion. There's an emotion when you buy a house and you're trying to finance it, and the financial answers come too late and people don't respond fast enough. There's an emotion in all of these moments, and we are fixated on focusing on innovating around those. From an innovation perspective, the tool sets of our time. Now, I use bicycle just as an image, as an analogy for another, I guess, vehicle or a need that has stood the test of time. Along the years of the history of the bicycle, which is probably almost as old as we are as a business, there's been many that said the bicycle is dead, right? Many people have stood up and said, let's disinvest from this investment, let's close this because the bicycle's dead. When the motorbike came past, the bicycle was supposed to be dead. Still today, this need for transportation is satisfied with a massively powerful vehicle. Along the way, people have found different ways of innovating that vehicle. The element of journeys is captured into that thing, and we reflect we focus a lot on making sure that we keep the vehicle, the holistic view, the holistic vehicle of helping people with their finances, all intact. So it's pointless to invest in bells the whole time, or fixed seats, or paint your bicycle if you don't fix the gear system, right, as an example. So the whole of the bicycle needs to be kept in tune. And interestingly, in our organizations like ours, which is like big stuff and most big companies work on, is often the innovation is throttled because structures don't work together. So we could have, for example, a wheel department or a gear department or a handlebar department. In our world, the homelands department, the current account department, or an online banking department, where the organizational structures don't allow people to work together. And many of the execution today, when you think about it, it's about OTTing this infrastructure and the big organizational structures we have. So remember the bicycles that you used to ride on, where the gears was between your legs on the frame, right? And then out come people that said, okay, why don't we put the gear system where my hands are? And if you had a conflict in your organizational structure that the handlebar department wouldn't speak to the gear department or the frame department, then you would resist the change or the innovation to really look after the customer solutions. So bicycles in our world is exactly the same as we're trying to solve in financial services. The other thing to think about when you think of us or organizations like us is that we must not try and behave like the small guys, right? Big organizations have a momentum in it. There's a reason why that's big. There's history, there's lots of stuff in it. You can't hide behind a bush. You are effectively an elephant. Now, some elephants are able to stay in the game, and some elephants can have a true purpose of its march, which brings us back to strategy. If your strategy is not 100% focused on executing us into the future, then you'll get stuck, right? So we think that the blessings that we have in these big organizations is the fact that we've got so much stuff, we've got so much data, we know more about anything, we have got more technology, more innovation, more tools, and more capacity to do so much more. We've got the client bases. It's about leveraging those things to deliver, to our purpose. All right, but now all companies can say what we've just said. How do you actually apply this, and what are we trying to do into the future? There are two elements to this. The first talks about our customer experiences. And ultimately, if you think about the history that we've gone to now, there's been a history of, I call it digital innovation, and now we're going into platform innovation. So the digital innovation phases spoke a lot around taking manual processes and paper processes and giving you an option to do it so digitally yourself. But we never got rid of the paper processes, so it's always been an alternative. In the platform future, there is no alternative to paper-based processes other than through the platform. So I'll give you a quick example of four or five companies just to make sure. When last have you sent an email to Google? When last have you called Google? Now, we do the same as a company. We have a lot of questions our customers ask us, and we need to provide them some answers. So if your execution is not in the platform, then you are forced to use alternative mechanisms of communication. It's the first example. The second one is, if you need to match supply and demand. Now, let's say, for example, I have a good Forex expert who needs to speak to a customer who needs Forex advice, or an investment advisor that needs to speak to a customer who's just inherited money. The matching supply and demand is difficult if you don't do so in the platform. So the Ubers of the world have shown us how you do platform-based supply and demand matching. I log in and I request a vehicle, and someone else logs in and I can supply that need. But that is done in the platform. The third example is there was an old way of retailing and selling stuff. Think about like normal retail, normal shops where you put stuff on the shelves and customers have to go and find their stuff. The alternative in the platform futures makes it impossible for you to get the product unless you haven't logged in and authenticated in the platform. So you log into the Amazons of the world and they contextually give you the stuff that you need, and they don't tell you a product that they know that you didn't like or potentially wasn't something that you wanted. So the platform executions is the stuff that all of us in financial services, or the big players of volume and needs of customers, are going to migrate to over the next few years. But what does it mean for our staff and for the people that work in finance? Over the 180 years that we've been around, certainly we found that no matter what innovation came along, it ultimately, eventually, is still about the people. Best example I use there is in Uber today, there's not a single customer experience that cannot be satisfied or can be satisfied without the driver being there. So what we're setting up is platform-based activities to help our staff impress their customers. So think about attending and visiting a customer, being able to supply and demand, match the need they've got, and having the tools to make you look like a hero in front of your customer. That's why we too invest heavily in our infrastructure. If you think about new platform people, think about Apple, how much investment they make into those experiences in their stores where customers come in. So that's exactly what happens. But when you go to our environments, you'll be working on the platform. When you walk in there, we'll know who you are. The difference between Amazon and a normal execution of retail is that there's no interaction that happens. People can walk in and out of a store without knowing that you were there. In Amazon, they know everything about what you're looking and browsing for. So we're ultimately about recharging our staff, our platforms for our employees in the future. Okay, now, why do we do this? Because we think that it absolutely is not about the app, and it's not about the cell phone, right? From a platform perspective, our integrations will have to be in everything in the future. This Internet of Things that's going to happen, and the way you interface into, TVs, connected homes, connected cars, your toilet will tell us that you're pregnant, right? The point is that the networks and the way that we interface are going to require us to have an incredible security platform that people can interact with. So all big players around the world will focus a lot more on trust, building platforms and interactions that are able to be OTT, absolutely, we OTT ourselves, or we integrate into platforms. And it's important because we don't know where trade is going to happen in a few years' time. We have got no view whether houses are going to be sold in this platform or that platform. It's important for us to be activated into those platforms, to be able to be there for the financing and the trade that ultimately happens. All right, but organizations like ours don't survive 180 years if you lose track of society. You can come up with gadgets and you can do incredible stuff. So even if we're great at understanding and taking, let's call it the historical view of behavioral economics and behavioral data and credit, even if we took that and we went into this contextual world, even if we took our digital stuff and put it into this platform, and even if we took our products and created proper solutions for people, even if you did that, great, and you drop the ball on trust and you drop the ball on what society is expecting of you, we will fall out. I'll give you a quick example. There are things that people expect us to do in big organizations and the things they not expect of us. Next year in February, we wanted to launch the world's best online dating site. Yeah, and so how it will work is you go into online banking or onto the app, and what we'll show you is we'll show you a place, we'll show you a tab that says she has money, he has money, recently divorced, recently inherited, right? Because the interesting thing about finance is it's brutal. There is no fake news in finance. You can't say you didn't attend someone or didn't go and pay someone and go and live with someone. You can't say I didn't sleep there last night. Because we follow in finance, we follow with brutal accuracy the reality of what happens in finance. So that's what society can expect from us and how we execute. Proper innovation and proper trust and not trip over stuff. I was just joking about the online dating site. And I guess lastly, if all else fails, this is exactly what people expect of us to do, is apply the new tools of the trade. This tool of the trade then was feathers, maybe, or maybe it was emotional, something that people wanted to keep for sentimental value. The tools at the time, at those days, were envelopes. I guess you all know that our future is not about envelopes. It's not about emails. It's not about SMSs. It's not even about the app or our cell phone banking. It's really about building trust in our platforms and connecting to wherever people want to connect with when they do their trading. Thank you very much. Yeah.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.